that is so true. If you trust in Jesus, he will be with you. And that is true. I think a few people, maybe four or five in this room, have heard this story. So forgive me, you folks that have heard it. But a year ago, my husband, Charles Hofflander, said to me one day, he said, "You know what? Sit down here," he says. "I want to tell you something." I said, "What do you want to tell me?" He says, "I wanted to tell you that I'm one of these days, soon, I'm going to go away and I'm never coming back again." And I thought, what have I done? I'm his wife, you know. What have I done? "I'm going away and I'm never coming back again." And I said, "Oh, where are you going?" "I don't know." I said, "Are you going to heaven to be with Jesus?" "Oh my, no." And I thought, what kind of things he does that he's not sure he's going to heaven. That wasn't what he was saying. He said, "There are souls out there that don't know the Lord." And we were living all alone there, and Sue Ann and I had just celebrated his 97th birthday. And hardly a person came around. And there was nobody he could preach to, nobody he could witness to. And yet he knew that out there there were souls that needed Jesus. Now listen carefully. My granddaughter, they're twin granddaughters, born an hour or less than an hour apart. One of them came one day and I was sitting in my recliner. And she knelt down in front of me and she said, "Grandma, would you do something for me?" I said, "Sweetheart, I'd do anything in the world for you." Be careful when you make promises like that. Because she opened her little mouth and she said, "You know, Grandma, the whole family is looking at you and they're seeing dark rings under your eyes. And they know you're getting worn out because Grandpa is in complete," what's the word, Joanne? Forgetfulness.
Dementia.
What? Dementia. Grandpa's in complete dementia, Grandma. And he doesn't even know you. He comes in the room and he says, "Hello. Hello. I'm Charles Hofflander." I said, "Oh, well, I'm Marie Hofflander, your wife." "Oh, how nice." And we've been married over 60 years. And the little granddaughter said, "Grandma, Grandpa doesn't even know you anymore. And Grandpa doesn't know anybody else. And Grandpa doesn't know anything else." She says, "Won't you please let us put him in a nursing home so you could get one night's good sleep?" I said, "Oh, sweetheart," I said, "I can't say that to you because when we were married over 60 years ago, I said, I will keep Grandpa as long as he lives and I'll take care of him until the day he dies."
Amen.
I said, "I can't go back on that, Grandma." She says, "You're not going to live to take care of Grandpa if you don't listen to my request, because the family all have agreed that Grandpa needs to go in the nursing home." Listen to me. To make a long story short, I prayed. I said, "I'll ask my father about it."
Amen.
And then it came to me. "All right, Lord, it's okay. Thank you." In other words, I'll forgive you what you said over 60 years ago that you'd keep until he died. And so I told my niece and I told my son, Jonathan, I said, you can take him, because they had already reserved the room and I didn't even know anything about this. Quickly get to the story. He entered that nursing home and there were about 80, I don't know for sure, 80, give or take, people on the second floor of that nursing home with dementia. And my niece didn't have the heart to go visit him the next day, but 2 days after he was in the home, she went in and she said, they introduced him to this, to everybody there. They said, this is Pastor Charles, who's come to stay with us. Guess what? Have you already got the answer to the story? My niece went to visit him the second day. There was Papa sitting in his chair. And at his knee, a little lady with dementia was kneeling there. She says, Pastor Charles, could you tell me how to get ready for heaven? She says, I don't know how to get ready for heaven, and I'm going to die one of these days. Do you hear the answer already?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to go away, and I'm never coming back again. Because I've got to win souls for Jesus. That whole floor. Well, I'm getting ahead of my story. The next, behind this little lady at his knee, who was asking how to get to heaven, he says, you have to repent. You have to turn away from your sins, and Jesus will give you a new heart. And my niece was standing there listening to this. And she says, I will repent right now, Pastor Charles. And so she repented, and he laid his hand on her head, and he prayed over her. Behind her were four more people standing in line. Do you hear the end of the story already? But he was telling to me he was going to go away and he was never going to come back. He never did come back. Because on June 20th last year, the Lord, and they called me from the nursing home. They said, Pastor Charles isn't doing very well today. We suggest you come in because his vital signs are not good. That was at 9:15 in the morning. We went right away, my niece Carol and I went right away to the nursing home, and Charles was not conscious. He was sitting there in the corner of his bed, propped up in the corner, and I took his hand, I held his hand. We were not emotional people. If we were going to say goodbye, we would just take hands. And he would squeeze my hand, and I would squeeze his hand, and that means I love you, and then I know you're here, and I'm going to remember you. And so that's what I did. I squeezed his hand, he squeezed my hand back, and nobody knew. My niece was there with her telephone on the foot of the bed, and she started to play hymns on it. And my husband loved the hymns, and he loved this camp. And that's because we always sing hymns here. And they don't do that much in any church anymore that you go to. They sing choruses and stuff. But anyway, here we are. I said, while he was still in this coma, had a high fever, probably had pneumonia, and I said to him, Charles, you're going to go to heaven pretty soon. And I said, you know what? You don't have to go alone. You don't have to cross Jordan alone.
Amen.
I said,
Amen.
Jesus died for your sins to atone. Amen. He didn't respond to me because I know he was really quite unconscious. But I said, Jesus promised. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he said also, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And it wasn't 2 minutes when he...
Oh, praise the Lord.
And I said, now I got the answer. Well, that's not the end either. 2 or 3 days after the funeral, the lady in charge of the second floor said, called me, she didn't have to do this, but But this was all part of the plan to make my heart settled, very settled. She says, Mrs. Hofflander. I said, yes, this is the head nurse at the nursing home where Charles passed away. And I just called to tell you that your husband was such a blessing to every one of us on this whole floor. He ministered to every one of us. And I just want you to know that. I said, thank you, dear, very much for calling. I appreciate that. And you know what? Immediately in my heart, I said, he finished his course with J-O-Y. Did you ever teach the children that, to sing that song? J-O-Y, J-O-Y. Well, I did right here at this camp, and I did in my Sunday schools. J-O-Y, J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. And you know, I haven't, and I told this, and the pastor looked at me and shook his head like, you're dirt. I said, I haven't shed one tear, honestly. And you know, I'm not a hard-hearted, wicked old witch. Really, I'm not. I really love people. And I really loved my husband all 61 years of our marriage. But you know why I don't shed a tear? He finished his course with joy. Right. What did he say to me? He says, I can't go to heaven yet. I haven't won enough souls for Jesus. Well, he must have won about 80 in those 6 weeks. No, how many weeks was it? 4 or 6 weeks he was away from me. They were leaving at his, she says, every one of us, this is the director, she says, we want to thank you for letting your husband be with us because he was such a blessing to all of us. She included herself. Should I cry? I said, somebody, this pastor looked at me. He said to his wife, I hope you can cry a tear when I die. Father had accomplished his will through my dedication, consecration to let him go. And I did not cry then, and I have not cried since. Because why should I cry when God used him and finished? He finished his course with joy. Do you hear him?
Glory.
You can shake your head.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. That was the right thing to do, though it didn't seem like the right thing to me to do. But you see, God's will, God's way is the best way. Did you ever sing that? God's way is the best way. God's way is the right way. I'll trust in him wholly because he never fails me. This promise is true. This promise is true. I just thought that my every place I've told this, people come to me, that was such a blessing to me. And you know, I cry for everybody else that dies. But I say, thank you, Jesus, that you made me willing to let him go in there. Thank you, Lord, that he was willing to come, everybody that came to bow before him to ask for help. He led them to Christ, and he prayed his, laid his hand. My niece witnessed this. I did not witness this. She came. She said, Marie, I want to tell you what happened. There he, this little lady sat at his feet. He sat in the recliner, and he sat there. He says, you just ask him to forgive you, to give you a clean heart and a clean mind, and he'll do it. And she says, Pastor, I'm going to do that right now. She did. She just prayed. And he put his hands on her head, and he committed her to Jesus. And then the next one came. It was like a rotation. And then they have the director. If the director hadn't called me, I would have just had to believe my niece. But the director says, Mrs. Hofflander, Pastor Charles has been such a blessing to every one of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Is God good or is God wonderful? And if we want to finish our course with joy, then we need to be obedient, and I need to learn obedience, and I was so glad that Jesus brought me to the willingness to let him go. And he had his last weeks in that nursing home. And Director Paul Munsinger was there. He had a lovely funeral, didn't he, Brother Paul?
Yes, he did.
Yes, because I think Jesus was pleased with Charles, because Charles had such a burden for souls. And I thank God for making my heart open to do the will of God, even though I didn't feel that was the way to go, because I had vowed on my wedding day I would keep him till the end. And instead I said, Jesus, you keep him till the end.
Thank you.
Forgive me for taking so much
time.
That's
okay. But thank you for sharing.
Everybody I shared this with, thank you for telling me that, because, you know, God is real. He is real. And to have my husband take my hand and say, I'm going to go away and leave you, and I don't know where I'm going. He says, I saw you leave there. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But he says, I've got work to do for Jesus.
Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so
sing number 334, and let's stand as we sing this.
River glorious is God's perfect peace.
faithful Father, as this song states, that we can be hidden in you. You are our hiding place, our refuge. We're thankful, Lord, that we can cause our minds to be stayed on Jehovah. That these things are not insurmountable. That, Lord, they're not out of our reach. You can do this through the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and glory for that, Lord. God, it encourages our hearts to know that you are our hiding place. And we just want to give you thanks and praise. I'm going to ask that we are seated, and if you can keep your books open, don't close, keep that open. We're going to sing that third verse.